BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcast.
Scott Mills.
On today's Scott Mills Daily Podcast, the last one of the week before Easter, there's, sadly, a more famous Chris Stark. He appeared on Newsbeat and everything and various other news channels and shows.
Mate, I was shooketh when I heard it on Newsbeat, actually. We didn't really discuss this in the show, but you were out of the studio. And honestly, I started asking questions because I thought, why am I on Newsbeat talking about climate change?
But it was actually a Chris Stark who is...
Different Chris Stark.
Yeah, but he's a specialist in climate change. But, like, his moment is here. Like, he's under the spotlight right now, but, like, he'll pass and you'll still be on Radio 1.
I know, still. It shook me up a bit.
Flyeth. Also, another of our guides to Great Britain. If you're heading to Brighton anytime soon, then this is for you. You'll find out everything to do and everything about the place. Have you ever used a how-to video on YouTube? There are millions of them and they get mad views. We hear some of your stories. And there's dog food on Radio 1 at work.
Scott Mills.
How annoying when someone with the same name swoops in and steals the crown.
I know, right? This other Chris Stark that appeared on Newsbeat there. I don't know what to feel.
I know. It is annoying, because at the moment, he is the number one Chris Stark.
Well, he is. He's definitely taken the crown.
This is from Newsbeat.
So one man who's heard that warning before is Chris Stark. He heads a group which is looking into climate change for the government.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for chatting to us. So you are in the film. What changes can we make on a personal level to try us stopping heading for this climate catastrophe?
We can choose to walk or cycle. If you have a car, you can make your next car an electric one if you don't have one already.
There we are.
There you go. The new MVP there.
Do you remember the guy who used to work here called Sam Bailey?
Yes.
And then Sam Bailey won the X Factor. He was fuming.
Radio 1. Scott Mills. 1.
Do you know what I really need?
What do you need?
I need more people to step up and be a hero for our feature, Where Do You Think They Were? It's a simple idea. The story of where your parents made you, in detail, described by one of those parents. It's just a few minutes of uncomfortable listening on the radio, but a lot of people have stepped up already. And if you've been thinking about it for a while and be like, shall I, shan't I? Please, do it for me. Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk and I promise we will love you for that forever. In previous episodes, our listener Sam had a terrible realisation about his local cinema.
So you're in the cinema, right? On the chairs that you remember.
So what we did, we get there and I thought I'll push the boat out, I'll go big. So we got extra large popcorn.
Oh yeah.
We've got the Maxi Coca-Colas, I've got the nachos, hot cheese, the footlong hot dogs. You know, I've got the whole works going on.
Oh, not the hot cheese.
Yeah. I said, whatever you want, you get it. That's all right, I'll pay for it.
What a gem. So, Sam, you okay?
A bit queasy.
Yeah. Have you been to that cinema recently yourself?
Not recently. I have been there quite a lot, sadly.
You never know, you might have the same seat numbers.
Oh, God.
And even celebrities are not safe. Jack Whitehall had to sit through his dad, Michael, describing his story, which had a very strong start.
It was the night of the great storm. It was the night of the great storm. I can't remember the date.
You can say it.
Whatever it was.
1902, no, this is my birthday.
When Michael Fish said there wasn't going to be a storm. And there was.
I mean, he was a gift, and it got better.
And then the thunder started, because this was the beginning
of
the storm.
The great storm.
And you could hear the thunder and the lightning, and then the rain and the windows were sort of... the
thrashing.
Yeah, exactly, that's the
word
I was
looking
for.
Sounds like something out of Frankenstein.
It was an amazing experience. And then suddenly I thought, go on, why not?
Felt powerful.
And I...
Did you feel charged? It was like the electricity
in
the
air. I was completely and utterly charged. And I just wanted to get on with it.
Come on. We need your emails. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Scott Mills.
A guy called Liam has sent us such a sweet email. He says, over the last few months, I've been training for my first ever marathon, and you've been with me every step of the way. From torn muscles, tears, and very, very sore legs, you've made me laugh a lot. I've also been bumbling every Wednesday on my runs. So he says, hopefully I will get across the finishing line and I'll be listening to you on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
At the London Marathon next Sunday.
Best of luck.
Put a lot of work in there, but we've been with him. Thanks, Liam Beattie. Good luck with the marathon.
Scott Mills.
Katie, where are you off to this weekend?
We're off to Brighton. My stepdad has lived, well, we lived in London with his dad, and his dad used to take him to Brighton all the time. So he seems to think he knows absolutely everything about Brighton. Whenever we go, he's always like, this is where we go and this is what happens. And I just wanted a little bit more information so that I can turn around and say to him once in a while, sort of like, actually, no, you're wrong. Or did you know that this happened over here?
Yeah, because I mean, I guess he's been quite cocky about the knowledge that he has, yes?
Yes, he's very, very cocky about it.
I love Brighton. And the thing is, until we started working on this guide, I only really knew it at face value, you know, from good times that I've had there. Mm. And again, doing this guide, it you know, there's hidden depths to all of these places out there. It's fascinating stuff that I'm going to reveal in a bit.
Oh, I mean, you're going to actually get like some history knowledge as well. So you're going to really be able to impress your stepdad.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, thanks, guys.
I do hate people, though, that one-up you with knowledge on everything.
Oh, yeah, and he does. He talks for England as well, honestly. You don't stop him from talking once he starts talking. He thinks he knows everything.
Yeah, I have this quite a lot. There's always that odd friend who just has a fact about everything, reel it out. Whether it's true or not, you never really question it.
Am I that friend?
No, you're not really.
No.
You're not. I'm talking about like real intellectual sort of...
Oh, sure, yeah, you know,
something. I'm trying to think who that would be in sort of our circle of friends. But you know, just someone that likes to one-up you with a fact.
Yeah.
You come in with a bit of information, someone always knows better.
So where do you live, Kate?
I live in Nottingham.
Okay, so you're going for the weekend?
Yes, yeah. We're coming back on Sunday.
Are you doing kind of like a nice classy Brighton, or are you going out for the evening as well? What's the plan?
Well, it will be more of a classy one involving children. So things like the pier and things like that are more...
Okay.
So avoid all the chat about vodka revs, Prism and Casablanca.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so you want some kind of some places to visit, some things to do. Yeah, I'm not sure any of those are in this guide. But anyway, right, wait there. And we'll be back with your guide to Brighton next.
Scott Mills.
Bear in Cornwall's been on saying, yay, we're off to Brighton this weekend. James and Tetley Stag, give us some facts. We're about to. Kay, how are you feeling?
So excited.
Good. And people of Brighton, I hope I do you proud with this. Listen up if you're in the area. Brighton and Hove.
Brighton, 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 or as it was originally called in the Domesday Book, Brithlemstone. The town grew steadily. It became a successful mackerel fishing port, and is where King Charles II fled to mainland Europe during the English Civil War. Anyway, skip forward, and Brighton becomes a fashionable Georgian seaside resort. Scott, hit the Georgian music.
What's the Georgian... Okay, we got some.
It's the album Now. That's what I call Georgian music. Mm-hmm. That's the one.
There it is.
The Georgians loved frolicking, splashing, and bathing in the seawater as a cure for illness. King George the V1 built the Royal Pavilion.
The so V1?
I'm never sure how...
That's six, that one. go again. King George the V1.
King George the VI built the Royal Pavilion so he too could frolic, splash and bathe. And with tourism, the population boomed. Hotels popped up everywhere. The Grand, the Old Ship, the Royal Albion, the Norfolk, the Queen's, and so on. Majestic and girthy piers started to spring out of Brighton into the sea. Although due to fire, only one, Brighton Palace Pier, remains. It may not be the longest in the UK. Please see previous guide to Southend for further info. But it is certainly a spectacle protruding out of the groins of the pebbly beach. Oh. Back to the normal music, Scott Mills.
Right. Yep.
Brighton is notable for many things. It has the UK's oldest cinema, the world's oldest aquarium. And one for you, Scott. It's where ABBA won Eurovision in 1974 with Waterloo. You were there, I believe.
I wasn't there.
You were?
No, I wasn't.
You were, though.
I wasn't, though. What the hell's going on in the background?
Hello?
Hello, what's going on?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just stood up on the side of the road.
All right, listen,
stand still.
Listen to your guide to Brighton.
I am listening to the guide.
We've done it
loads
specially.
Of effort in for
God.
You.
God, don't be distracted now. Okay, continue, Chris.
Stop fiddling.
I am listening.
Listen up. It's also considered the official, unofficial gay capital of the UK, with the largest pride event in the country taking place every August. James Street proudly welcomes everyone, L, G, B, T, Q, and plus. And as you stroll down there on a night out, it really is gay bar, gay bar, gay bar.
I've just seen another gay bar.
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah. Gay bar.
Yeah.
And look over there, Scott, another gay bar.
There's millions for everyone.
Brighton is a place of innovation. The Bimvelope, a.k.a. the collapsible bin, was invented there. The crumb catcher, designed to sieve out the powder that collects in the bottom of cereal boxes, started life in Brighton. And in 1896, the first ever adult film was shot in Brighton director Esme Collings. It was called A Victorian Lady in Her Boudoir. For the purposes of this guide, I watched it, and I can report you see full ankle. And music. What a music scene it has. The Royal Blood, the Kooks, the Freemasons, and the Fatboy Slim are all associated with Brighton. Scott, play the Fatboy Slim.
Right about now, the funk soul brother. Check it out now, the funk soul brother. Right about now.
And if you're walking along the seafront being attacked by seagulls, you might just bump into one of many local residents. Zoe Ball, Radio 2.
Hello.
Steve Coogan, Alan Partridge.
Hello.
Or Strictly Come Dancing winner's sister, Zoella Sugg. He didn't even win Strictly, did he?
No. He didn't win.
I think
it,
he came fourth.
That's wrong. Because Stacey Dooley won.
We'll change that if the tourism board want this. Back to the normal music, Scott. Brighton doesn't just entertain, it educates and informs as well. The University of Sussex, the University of Brighton, the British and Irish Modern Music Institute, and the Brighton and Sussex Medical School are all based around the city. So, Katie, go back to your stepdad, his mind enlightened, about a wonderful place. Its name is Brighton.
Yeah!
Are you happy?
Hello?
Pay attention.
Not paying attention again, literally. I don't even know where you bother sometimes.
No. Well, the guide is there. Do with it what you will.
Yeah. She's half listening all the way through. But look, Kate...
I was listening. It keeps cutting off, but yeah.
I know, I don't believe you. All right, Kate, listen, have a lovely time in Brighton and go and wow your stepdad with all that extra info.
I definitely, definitely will. Thank you very, very much, Chris. Thanks, Scott.
Love you, bye.
Nice.
Love you, bye.
Scott Mills.
Now, you know Charlie Hedges off of Ricky Melvin and Charlie?
Yeah.
So she just texted me saying that it's her brother's stag in Brighton this weekend and he's going to find that very useful, that guide.
That's the whole point of it.
She was also crying with laughter at your guide. It was actually very informative, Charlie, actually.
There was a lot going on. As always, people are now getting in touch to correct the guide.
Yes. So in the music bit, you did miss out Rizzle Kicks. Or was that on purpose?
Nope. That's fair. I should have included them, sorry.
Also, yeah. Well, Sarah says, thank you for telling me some stuff about my hometown that I didn't know, but she said maybe put Rizzle Kicks back in.
Yeah, okay. And then there's also the pronunciation of what Brighton was originally called.
Yes. So Paul says, I am 100% Brightonian and it was pronounced Brighthelm Stone. Billy from Brighton says, never been so proud to be from the home of the crumb catcher. We also missed out the Architects band. But apart from that, I actually think a pretty solid guide to Brighton. Do you want one? Are you going somewhere soon? Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk and you could get your own Chris Stark guide to Britain.
Scott Mills.
Have you ever tried to learn something off YouTube?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I've done this a couple of times. I remember I saw how to actually carve a turkey properly. That's something that I got off YouTube. Yeah, I'm sure I've done this a couple of times.
Here's the thing, Chris. My favourite type of egg is the poached variety. If you have them in like a cafe, it's like, oh, these are banging.
Mm.
Try and do it at home. It's pretty much impossible.
It's not impossible. What, to poach an egg?
Yes.
No, it's...
really hard.
Okay, so you watched a video to learn how to poach an egg.
It was a nice man called Anthony who lived in Ohio, and he told me how to do the perfect poached egg.
Well, these videos are amazing, aren't they? Because people will just upload them to help the general population.
Yeah.
It is just like someone in their kitchen.
At Christmas, a couple of years ago, I tried to learn how to wrap presents without using any tape.
That's a good
one. That was good, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw a funky way to... This is really lame because I still don't know how to do it. But there was a how-to video about how to, like, fold things.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It's a whole TV show now.
Yeah.
That's tidying up with Marie Kondo.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah.
I'd be interested to know if anyone listening has attempted to, I don't know, watch a video about lancing one of your own boils. Like self-surgery.
Oh, look at this one.
And actually gone through with it. Go on.
They get mad views, these. 54 million views. How to tie a tie.
See, that is one that I would look up.
That's useful.
Really useful, because I can't do it. There's actually not much I can do, is there? This is what I'm finding from this conversation.
No, but what's great is there's a how-to for everything in your life. So you live your life just constantly on YouTube, searching how to do things.
A lot, yeah.
How do you get the train? Clean your own house.
I do that as well.
Yeah, and that's why you're starting to learn how to cook food. You're starting to try and do more things for yourself generally, aren't you?
I am, yeah, that's my thing.
How to use a toaster.
I know how to do that as well.
That kind of thing.
Let me know if you've ever tried, you know, something a bit weird from one of these videos and actually succeeded or not. It's up to you.
Scott Mills.
Here's a good one.
How to toast bread. Beginners. First of all, to toast bread, you need a toaster.
Yes.
And bread.
Sure.
For the now following steps, make sure that you're at least 3 years old or that you are helped by an adult.
At least 3 years old.
Toasting bread can be dangerous. If it's not already done, plug in the toaster using both hands.
I love the drama music.
Take 2 or 4 slices of bread out of the package, depending on the size of your toaster. Now be careful. You are holding something in your hands that not all people around the world have enough of to live.
So if you don't know how to put bread in a toaster, that's how you do it. Must be 3 years or over. Another thing I'd quite like to get better at, kissing.
Oh, yes, good idea. Mm. So there's a how-to video for that?
Of course there is.
If you want to become an expert in the art of kissing, this one how-to video will explain how to give the perfect kiss step by step. Step one. Before you start kissing, you need to show the other person you want to do so. Play with body language. Get closer.
Why do they all have this weird music on?
Smile. Touch her hands.
Okay.
Wet your lips.
Oh! What do you mean, wet your lips? I've never done that.
Step two.
What does that
mean?
When
the other person understood your intentions, focus your attention on her lips and bring your head a little closer in her mouth's direction.
Aim for the lips, basically.
Yeah.
Tip. When you get closer to your partner's mouth, tilt your head slightly, as your noses may collide if you don't do so. That might create an awkward moment. Step three. Unite your lips with hers and give her a soft and sweet French kiss.
Yeah, but how?
Tip. Do not put your tongue in her mouth too quickly, as it could be uncomfortable. A good kiss should start slowly and increase the passion little by little.
This is great.
Step four. Open your lips slightly to hold hers with your mouth. Do soft movements
to
caress your partner's lips.
You just know everyone listening is trying to do this now.
Yeah.
Like me.
Oh, the best is if you're in a car right now.
Now's the right moment to slowly introduce your tongue.
Introduce.
Start with the tip. Caressing her lips and playing with her tongue.
I'm just introducing my tongue.
Literally, one about anything.
In order to play without anybody choking. Step six. Take the tongue out of her mouth slowly. And
would you like me to come around your side now and to try this out?
Scott Mills.
Hello, Beth, who says, get this off, cringe. John in Oxford has never felt so nauseous listening to Radio 1. And then we've got loads of people, including Jack in Bristol, who had all his windows in his car down for the kissing tutorial. That was a bit weird. That was Pink and Walk Me Home on BBC Radio 1. Becky, what did you learn from a how-to video?
I learned how to make a balloon animal dog.
And that's very useful.
Yeah.
Did you manage to make it work?
It looked a bit more like a giraffe than a dog.
Good.
But my daughter seemed quite happy with it.
Well, you literally, there's one for everything. Everything. There's a shaving balloons one as well. Have you seen that?
There's
no.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I'm just looking at one now, which is how to cuddle.
Wow. I mean, everyone needs to know that.
Scott Mills.
If you're not a fan of stories of self-surgery, then maybe look away from the radio right now.
Oh, my word.
So, Charlotte from Stroud was travelling Australia for 6 months. Cut her thumb badly cutting vegetables. It became infected and turned into a large blister. Really had no money. No way could she afford Australian healthcare. So she is ashamed, and she is ashamed to say that she did look up how to treat the issue at home on YouTube. So, are you ready?
I'm sure this is not okay, by the way.
It's not okay.
Don't do
this. She's ashamed
of
it. It's not okay. But are you ready?
Yeah.
So she had to burst it and drain it herself by cutting into her thumb, which is what caused the problem in the first place. Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. Disgusting, but it did... It sorted the problem temporarily.
Scott Mills, BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Fran.
Hello.
So, Fran is in Worthing and is a police officer.
Yes, that is correct.
You are in the car right now.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I'm not working at the moment. I'm off today.
Okay. And you're off over Easter?
Yes, I am. Got some leave, so that's lucky.
I mean, it's quite good having you on because you can assure there's no robberies on Bangers. We get so many messages with whoever basically hasn't got chosen. There's always like an uproar. Mm. Loads and loads of texts from people saying, oh, it's been a robbery. Yeah. Call the police.
Yeah.
All of that.
So,
well, hopefully there'll be no robberies today.
Well, let's hope not, because that would be awkward because you are in the police.
Yeah.
Right, here's what I've got for you on Bangers. See if you like this choice, Fran.
Okay.
What a song. Try Again,
what?
Aaliyah.
I couldn't hear it.
Can you hear that now?
Yes, I can hear it now. Oh, I do like a bit of Aaliyah.
Yeah, it's good.
I
okay,
like that.
You can have that, or you can have my choice today, which is this. This is the Sherlock's Chasing Shadows. I just think this is a banger.
I've never heard of that before.
Do you know what? I reckon quite a few people may not have even heard of this song. But trust me, it's very, very good.
Oh, so usually I'm more swayed towards Chris because we have quite a similar age. We have similar music taste. Because
yeah.
He usually goes for the old school R&B, but...
But I've done that today.
I know. You've thrown a bit of a spanner in the works.
He's struggling, really struggling.
Me? I'm struggling.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm not struggling at all.
I think he is struggling a bit, to be honest.
No, I'm not struggling at all.
I don't know what that song is. It's a bit random, Chris. I think it's probably quite obvious. I'm going to go with Scott, with Aaliyah.
It's a problem when you run out of music, because he has.
I've not run out of music. It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you. Without a dope beat.
Step two. First on Sounds, a young couple from Manchester went on holiday to Central America.
This is the story of the lives and deaths of Chris and Peter, and the only ever suspect in their murders.
They just all described him as crazy.
A murder mystery podcast
told through their tapes and letters.
At least he hadn't escaped the system.
This is Paradise.
It's a story we've spent 2 years piecing together, and we're not done yet.
How deep do you want to go with this story?
Available now on BBC Sounds.
I'm really noticing things in songs this week that I've never heard or noticed before.
Yeah, the noise is
noise?
In that. It's quite full on.
But I don't remember it being like that.
A lot of people outraged that the Sherlocks weren't chosen.
Well, I've seen Force. That's all of the Sherlocks probably texting in there.
Oh, the attitude from you at the moment.
That was from a time where songs could easily run to 5 minutes and no one cared.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just carry on.
With that strange noise as well. See also Christina Milian.
Around that time, wasn't it?
And PM.
If you look at songs now, though, like the ones we've got coming up, Ava Max, 3 minutes. Lewis Capaldi, 3 minutes. Jay Bird, 3 minutes. Aaliyah, 5 minutes.
It was a different time.
Good song, though.
Scott Mills.
This is fascinating. I'm currently watching the transformation from the live lounge to the rave lounge. It's happening. There's massive screens being erected with yellow smiley faces and mad graphics on. And a set of decks has just arrived.
I love it when this sort of thing happens. It's very, very exciting. But always, I think to myself, the Queen once sat in there, in the live lounge, you know?
Yeah, watching the script.
I'd love to see her at a rave.
Oh, God, imagine if it was, and she wasn't watching the script, but the rave lounge was on. That would be awesome.
Same, completely the same setup. Our boss and the Queen sat in the live lounge, but in full rave lounge mode.
Imagine her face. So, tomorrow night, it's happening. This is going to be such a good start to your Easter. So I'm going to have dance anthems, and that's a lot of classics in there tomorrow. I just thought, like, maybe because it's Easter, we do it sometimes. It's not all new stuff. There's some really good, old, classic dance anthems.
Get the weekend started. Party on.
And then from 7, Annie Mac and Danny Howard with such a good lineup on the Rave Lounge starting tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Scott Mills.
We've been visiting you at workplaces all over the UK last week and this week, just to say thanks, really, for being so loyal to Radio 1. Ariel Free, where are you?
Right now, specifically, I'm in Burton-on-Trent. I'm at Natural Dog Direct, which is a natural dog food company, and I'm joined by the wonderful Saraya. Saraya, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Natural Dogs Erect?
Direct.
I'm sorry, direct. I heard erect as well there. I was like, what's going on?
Have we gone there already?
Sorry, we just misheard that.
So you own the company, and what are you doing?
So we manufacture, wholesale and retail natural dog food. It's all raw meat.
How's it smelling in there, Ariel?
It actually smells delightful. It's a weird way that you got into this business. Can you explain that?
So my dad's one of the biggest kebab manufacturers in the UK, and we decided to take dad's meat that he was paying to dispose of, and we then turned it into dog food.
It's quite cool that the same food that I could be eating in a kebab shop is what dogs are eating as well.
The dogs are eating better food than what you'd eat in the kebab shop.
That's wicked.
Yeah. Have you ever tried it?
No.
See, I have. Not yours, but I have tried dog food.
Why?
Just a feature on my show years ago.
Beautiful.
I've got to tell you, as an expert in this, dog food is a whole lot tastier than cat food.
I'd imagine so.
I tried that as well.
Yeah.
Also, wow. have you ever owned cat food on a hangover?
Oh,
it's the worst.
No, that's a horrible thought.
But yeah, dog food, actually decent, you know?
Well, our dogs eat better than we do, to be fair.
Yeah.
Okay, wicked. So you have Radio 1 on most of the time then when you're doing this, where you're sort of packing the food?
Yeah, it's on all the time. It's the only thing that keeps the workers going.
What are your products called? What are their names?
So you have like chicken mince, turkey and tripe, chicken and tripe.
Tripe?
Salmon.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, they love it.
Tripe's one of the best things for dogs.
Yeah. Ooh. I always thought it would be good if, and feel free to steal this idea, I've always thought it'd be good to have pop star dog food.
Okay.
Lewis Capaldi, for example.
Oh, got you.
That could be the tripe.
I don't get it. Paldi.
Paw.
Oh, Paw.
Paw.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one, guys.
Tom Walkies.
Yeah, that.
definitely. We will consider it.
That could be the turkey mince.
This is, it's nothing against your business, but it would be nice to sort of jazz up the names for the foods.
Yeah, no, it definitely would. I think you need to try a bit harder than that, though.
Also, we can get all the listeners involved. This is the kind of thing that Radio 1 can sort of pay you back in.
Our listeners love a pun. Let us know if you've got any. 81199. I imagine they'll be better than ours.
Scott Mills. Radio 1.
I told you the listeners love a good pun. Pop star dog food. Azealia Barks. Sam and Middlesbrough, well done for that. Pixie Win-A-Lot.
I like this one. Staff London. That's from Jamie in Colchester.
Bark Ronson. Woof Alice.
Fetch 3-2. Yeah, yes. that works. Yeah, just checking somebody's work. That's from Sam.
Gary Barco. Rag and Bone Marrow Man.
That's a great one.
Two Labrador Cinema Club. Did you like any of those?
Yeah, I liked some of them, definitely.
How about Bonus Brothers? Bonus.
it's like Jonas. It's
that
clever.
Could work. That could work, because we've got something called a Bone Feast, so we could rename it.
Ava Barks. That doesn't work. Ava Max.
Lincoln Bark.
Lincoln Bark is good.
Yeah.
Poodle of Mud.
I've got one.
Yes?
Poodle
of Mud.
Yes. Catkins Harris, if there was cat food. Catkins Harris?
Yeah, it's not. It's dog food, though.
Okay, sorry.
Scott Mills.
Hi, Lee.
Hiya, Scott.
I understand that we've embarrassed you today.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually, yeah.
Okay, why?
So, sun's out, so I thought I'd skive off work a little bit early, as you do. And you had your kissing tutorial on full blast through my car while I was pulled up at some traffic lights in the middle of town.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. I seemed to be getting quite a few dodgy looks off people.
Yeah, a lot of people saying in their offices it was the same, because just before we played this how to do good kissing YouTube tutorial video, I had told people to turn up the radio to listen to my tune of the week. So the radio was still up for a lot of people. And then...
Yeah.
And then this happened.
If you want to become an expert in the art of kissing, this one how-to video will explain how to give the perfect kiss step by step.
Did you not find it useful at all?
I think there were a few tips on it that were pretty good. I'll try them out tonight. But
yeah, good for you.
You always learn some things on Radio 1, don't you?
You do. It's a very educational station, actually. This.
Tip. Do not put your tongue in her mouth too quickly, as it could be uncomfortable. A good kiss should start slowly and increase the passion little by little.
I mean, it's good advice.
Scott Mills.
I'll be back for the official chart tomorrow from 4 on Radio 1, and me and Chris are here with some Bank Holiday Monday mixes, 1 till 4 Monday. Check out the extra Friday podcast tomorrow, though, as well.
Scott Mills.